Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. It is said that the Hare Krishna mantra, the words are as follows. Krishna means the objective. That Hare is the vocative form of Hara, and Hara is referring to the pleasure potency of Krishna, or devotional service. So by engaging in devotional service to the all-objective, the result is Ram. Ram Tiyo Vinyonam Te Sanchanam Nachidatmani Iti Ramam Padena Suparam Ramam Vidiyate, which means transcendental happiness, Ram. So by serving Krishna, we become transcendentally happy. That is the meaning. And that devotional service is personified in all devotees of the world. The devotees, they carry that devotional service. And the more they surrender to Krishna, the more they become the personification of devotional service. Just like Srila Prabhupada, every single activity was animating devotional service. We can't think of a moment that Prabhupada's actions were not filled with pure devotion to Krishna. In whatever he did, whether he was doing small things like putting tilak. It said one devotee saw Prabhupada putting tilak, and the way Prabhupada was putting tilak was with so much attention and devotion that devotee from that particular moment started realizing that actually every detail is an offering to Krishna, and every detail must be given like full attention. And that became like the lesson for a life, for a lifetime, just seeing Prabhupada putting tilak. So in this way, gradually the devotee becomes the embodiment of devotional service. Little by little, that is the idea. And still, one can never become a master. Right? Even the spiritual master is not a master. The spiritual master is a servant. It is, Lord Chaitanya used to say, one cannot be the master of chanting the holy name, but one always remains the servant of the holy name. So, in this way, one must always be the servant of someone. So, therefore, if we want to please Krishna, who are we to please Krishna? For how many lives have we turned away from Krishna? In some temples in India, anyone who has ever touched anything non-vegetarian has become an outcast immediately. Right? Anyone who's ever broken any rules, an outcast, right? Basically fallen and contaminated and would not be allowed in Vedic temples and so on. Because the idea was this person now is going to take many lifetimes to become purified. And was that all based on some sort of artificial false pride? No, it was not. If we follow the normal processes of purification of sin, then it takes a long time. In the Srimad Bhagavatam, in a discussion between Maharaj Pariksit and Sukadeva Goswami, In the sixth canto, the topic of prayaschitta comes up, or performing some atonement in order to become purified of sinful reactions. And then it is said that such atonement can take a long time, and that it doesn't take the root from the sinful desire out of the heart. It is like the kunjarasnan, or like the elephant's bathing, who takes his bath and afterwards throws dust on its body again. So in this way, to become sinless, it takes quite some time. And all that sin, all these sinful reactions are stored within the heart of every living being, from all the things we've done, from so many lives. Therefore, who are we to approach Krishna? Srila Prabhupada says that if you want to travel to the sun, it is possible. But he says that you have to have a suitable body, a body made of fire. Otherwise, if we get close to the sun, we're going to, get overheated. What to do? So, Prabhupada says, in the same way, if you want to approach Krishna, who is the supreme pure, then you must be pure. So to go close to Krishna means to be pure. The Vedic literatures are divided up in various literatures. There are the four Vedas, and then there are the Upanishads. And Upanishads translates as to sit close by. So to be very close, close to Krishna. Because it deals with the absolute truth and not with how to get some temporary material benefit. Anyway, but even then, we find in the Brihad Bhagavatamrita a situation where Gopu Kumar is traveling to higher regions in the universe, and when he comes to Brahma Loka, Lord Brahma just has to go, and somehow or other Gopu Kumar gets the position of Brahma. At that time, one day, all the Vedas personified are appearing there. And amongst the assembly of all the Vedas, the Upanishads speak the loudest and try to establish that the topmost is the impersonal Brahman, the all-pervading, supreme spiritual energy on which everything is resting. But Sarva-Kalavidam Brahma, that everything in this world is ultimately resting on Brahma. That is a fact. But while the Upanishads were dominating the whole assembly, some of the Vedic literatures became upset. Some confidential Upanishads, the Agamas and the Puranas, thought, this is outrageous what they are doing here. It is too much. How can they just speak out so loud and let no one else present any facts? We cannot stay in this assembly any longer. And the confidential Upanishads, the Agamas and the Puranas left. Then, everyone became quite upset, like, oh my God, they have left the assembly, that is very inauspicious, maybe they have become offended because we didn't let them speak. So Guru Kumar went after them and with folded hands begged them, please return. And then the Bhagavad Purana, which is the topmost of all Puranas, spoke. And the Bhagavad Purana established the absolute truth, not only as Param Satyam, but as Parameshwar, that actually the absolute truth is a personality, Ishvara. And thus, everything within the universe is ultimately governed by the personality. And the ultimate goal is not the all-pervading spiritual energy where everything is known, but the ultimate is the Supreme Personality of Godhead,
Parameshwar.
And He is a personality. And He enters into personal relationships with His devotees. But which devotee can match the purity of Krishna? Therefore, which devotee can come close?
Oh yes, we are bowing down to Krishna, but from a distance, because we are not so pure. How close can we get? Therefore, we're serving the pure devotees.
We must all serve a pure devotee who can go closer than we can. And that pure devotee is also serving a pure devotee, who is serving a pure devotee, who is serving a pure devotee. And in this way, one must serve the servant of the servant of the servant of the servant. And this is the secret. So, it's at the topmost of all devotees is Srimati Radharani. Not only is she sinless, but everything in her nature is aimed at pleasing Krishna. Nothing less. See, we are always inclined towards so much for Krishna, so much for me, so much for Krishna, so much for me. A little bit extra for me. What I do? That is our life. What to do? But when it comes to Srimati Radharani, there is no such consideration. Nothing. No self-interest whatsoever. No, not a trace of selfish motive. Nothing. Just simply Krishna's pleasure, Krishna's happiness, and endless arrangements for Krishna's happiness. So, this is the essence. And as we see Srisi Radharani on the altar, we will see after a little later, we see Radha and Krishna. Therefore we are worshipping Radha and Krishna. Because how can we serve Krishna directly? And we are confronted with our shortcomings. We are always encountering again and again our shortcomings in devotional service. Every time we are realizing that we are lacking in something, lacking in purity, lacking in humility, lacking in honesty, lacking in seriousness, in gravity, lacking in the quality of our chanting, lacking in knowledge. It's very easy to find our shortcomings. We can make a long list. Yes. We lack in expertise. We don't know even what Krishna really likes. How do we know? Do we know? We make an offering to Krishna. Well, as long as it's vegetarian, then it's fine. You know, if the numbers are okay, what's wrong with it? But then we see that Krishna has preparations that he likes. Do we even know them? Maybe some, but how many? So, in the end, we are covered by ignorance, forgetful, limited in what we know, what we can do. And therefore, we think the topmost you can offer to Krishna is a pizza. But Krishna may not see it in that way. Say, well, how is that possible? He must like pizza. Yeah, it depends, you know. I mean, depends maybe on... It surely depends on the quality of the ingredients to begin with. Because every ingredient must be emanating pure devotional service as well. Right? And only then, is it really able to attain Krishna. So, Srimati Radharani is acting in this way. With great care, she is cooking for Krishna. Because Durvasa Muni gave that benediction. He gave that benediction that whatever she would cook and whoever would eat that would get a long life. So therefore, Mother Yasoda insists she has to cook. She has to. Because, you know, she wants her son to have a long life, naturally.
So there's only one cook for Krishna.
That's Radharani, because Radharani, she can cook a few preps also. Usually early in the morning, Rohini starts cooking, and then Radharani arrives on a palanquin carried by her servants who are fanning her all the way, and then she's dropped off at the house of Yasoda to cook, and then it begins, right? So many different preparations. And it is said that whatever she cooks, according to the benediction of Durvasa, would be nectar. And not only that, you know, she could cook a new preparation each time. And that preparation, totally ecstatic, what can be said? So, the service that Srimata Radharani renders is something very difficult to understand. But it is said that she is completely focused on Krishna. So I like a story which is from Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur, from a book called the Prema Samputa. And in this story, basically, there is Srimati Radharani in Yavat. The story is that although Radharani, from a young age, was only attracted to Krishna, her elders were very concerned. Because there was a rumor that Kamsa had an eye on Srimati Radharani. And when Kamsa had an eye on some lady, he would get totally out of control. So they were very concerned about that. But even Kamsa wouldn't touch a married lady because that just looked too bad. Society would reject him, and therefore there was nothing that could be done. She had to be married as soon as possible. So they found this Abhimanyu. Abhimanyu then became the husband of Srimati Radharani. So then she had the red kumkum and the dots and everything, so then she was safe from Kamsa. But so it is described that actually Abhimanyu is a shadow reflection of Krishna. And that therefore in that way there is not really another husband. Right? And Abhimanyu never touches his wife. He's just sort of there as a decorative figure in the background in some past times, but not in an actual relationship with Srimati Radharani, because Srimati Radharani is the eternal consort of Krishna. And what to say? She is aiming to satisfy him fully. So, in Yavat, where Radharani lives after her marriage, there one day, Srimati Radharani was alone with her various gopi assistants and maidservants, and Kundalata was asked to keep an eye on Srimati Radharani, because somehow or other, Chittila, the mother-in-law of Srimati Radharani, didn't trust Srimati Radharani, but she had great faith in Kundalata. So Kundalata said, "Don't worry, I will make sure everything will be fine. That black snake will not come near." Then, as the girls were alone, what happened was this very aristocratic, very beautiful, wonderfully dressed lady appeared in the courtyard of the house. She looked like a goddess. So Srimati Radharani sent someone outside to meet that goddess. But the goddess would not speak. So Radharani was thinking, she must be sad over something, depressed over something, and therefore she's despondent, she's not speaking. So she came out of the house herself and spoke to the goddess and said to the goddess that, don't worry, whatever is on your mind, it is best to speak it. Because here, amongst us, you are amongst like-minded personalities who can understand your plight. And if you just reveal your heart, you will feel much better. So please, tell us what is the cause of your grief. And then the goddess began to speak. And the goddess said, Yes, I am a demigoddess. Yes. And it is true. It is true what you say. My heart is overwhelmed by grief. And I cannot tolerate it any longer, you know. I mean, you know, we demigods, we are flying overhead in our planes and we are witnessing everything. And I just can no longer tolerate to see how Krishna is treating you. No. What are you saying? Krishna is treating me perfectly. He is perfect. His love is perfect. There's no fault in Krishna. Demigoddess at all. I cannot even hear this anymore. I mean, if I see the purity of your love for Krishna, it's just too much. He treats you so unfaithful, and still you cannot think bad of him. It's incredible. I mean, it's even more than I could have imagined. Oh. And then she muttered her words and said, No, you're not understanding. Krishna is never neglecting me, never. And the goddess says, that's what you say, but we can see how much he is neglecting. Intolerable. And then Srimati Radharani said, no, Krishna is never neglecting me because he is always thinking of me and I am always thinking of him. And therefore there is no question of him ever neglecting me. And even if externally it appears to be so, that's only lila, because in fact Krishna is always thinking of me and I am always thinking of Krishna. Well, the goddess said, my dear Srimati Radharani, I really appreciate, you know, I appreciate your dedication very much. And your faith in Krishna is extraordinary. But, you know, how do you know that you're not projecting your own emotions upon Krishna? And that is simply wishful thinking. You may always think of Krishna, but how can you be so sure that Krishna is always thinking of you? Isn't it just your own wishful thinking that is saying that? Then the goddess said, but I will believe you. I will believe you that you and Krishna are just one in thought, right? Always one in thought. You always thinking of him and he always thinking of you. If you, by deeply meditating on Krishna, can make him appear here in front of us. Srimati Radharani took up the challenge and then sat down in deep meditation, closed her eyes, and thought about Krishna intensely. And then she opened her eyes and Krishna had appeared. But that demigoddess had gone. So she asked, where is that goddess? Oh, she had to go, said Krishna. Like this, what can we say? So Radha and Krishna are actually one. the same time they are one, because one is always thinking of the other. And in this way they are fully united. Although they are two personalities, they are simultaneously one. And that is the secret of Radha and Krishna. In Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, that same Radha and Krishna are one. Sri Krishna Chaitanya Radha Krishna Narayana. Then they appear in that united form. But even as Radha and Krishna, they are always united. So in this way, we can see how perfect the dedication is. And the point is that it's not one-way traffic. It's not the devotee on his knees or on her knees praying, and then the Lord, when he's finally satisfied with the prayer, sending some ashirvad, some blessings. Blessings, O Lord, please send me blessings. Yes, please send me some blessings. Yes, I am praying for the blessings. Your son, blessings. Yes, many blessings. So ashirvad, these blessings, praying for blessings, that's one-way traffic. You see, that's the devotee on the knees praying for blessings, but that's not the highest reality. The highest reality is that the devotee, by dedication and service, purchases the Lord. And that the devotee then is always thinking of the Lord, and that the Lord is always thinking of the devotee. That is the highest. That is actually the highest. That is a great secret. That is a very rare secret. That creates a very intimate relationship. If it's one-way traffic, then it's sort of, then the Lord is far. And we're worshipping Him, and there is a sense of benediction. Oh Lord, thank you. We are so happy now. Oh yes. You know, you saved my child.
Oh yes.
Oh Lord. Thank you. The Lord is somewhere up there, and sometimes He sends the blessing. And we hope He will send many blessings. Please, send lots of blessings our way, oh Lord. We'll make an offering to you. But there is a business element in that. In that kind of exchange, there's a business element. I give you this, you give me that. That's business. So, there's a fruitive element in that. But in the love of Srimati Radharani, of the pure devotee, no, that's not there. And because there is nothing fruitive, that's why the pure devotee can purchase the Supreme Lord. Because there's nothing that the pure devotee wants other than Krishna's happiness. So then Krishna, his heart becomes touched. You know, I mean, if he's sitting there and someone's praying, you know, oh please, you know, please solve all my problems. I have so many problems. It's so difficult. Krishna, please help. Help us. And Krishna says, okay, here we go again. Oh, bless. Yeah. Oh, thank you, Lord. Thank you. You know, Prabhupada is speaking about the thief and the man living in a house. A big house, big electric fence, big dogs in the garden, you know, one of those big, fancy houses. And the thief is standing outside. And the house owner is praying, Oh Lord, let no one, you know, break into this house. And the thief is standing outside the gate. Oh Lord, let me just have a good catch in this house. And Prabhupada said, Krishna's in the middle, and they're pulling in his arms. One pulling one way, the other pulling the other way. That's the position of the Supreme Lord of God. So we can see that in the whole world, religion is mixed with personal motive, for personal benefit. But in the example of Srimati Radharani, we get a model offer pure, unblemished, pure devotional services. Only the pleasure of Krishna. And then the best Krishna is just astounded. Oh, you don't want anything, nothing, but I can give you everything. No, I don't want anything, because I have you. So how could I want anything else? I already got my reward. I got you, and there's nothing better than you. Therefore, how can I approach you, my Lord, for some benediction when there's nothing greater than you?
Oh Lord, give me wealth.
What is wealth? What will it bring? Wealth.
Anxiety.
Corruption. What will it bring? Who wants wealth?
Oh Lord.
Health.
Okay, health. You know what I mean? Well, can you be healthy? You know, at 99, it's really breaking down. You know,
I mean, health. You know, such a thing. Health, and wealth.
Beauty.
Yes, beauty. All right, you can have some beauty.
When you're young, you can have some beauty. And how long does it last?
You know, at sweet 17, there are some beauties.
Oh yes,
and also some ugly ones. And what can we do? And at 27, there are less beauties and more ugly ones. At 37, you know, even those beauties start to look a bit ugly. You know. At 47, you know, they're hiding it this way, that way, and sit in front of the mirror here, like, you know, trying to keep that chin from going down, and desperately work hard, you know. At 57, they make some gold on it so that it still looks like something.
Should I go beyond 57 or shall I save you the misery and the joy? You know, when the teeth are smiling at you at night from a mouse of water. When the chin and the nose are getting closer every day. When hairs start growing where they shouldn't grow. Anyway, when bumps start appearing in places where you don't want them, bags,
glands start to bulge, everything starts to bulge. When you're a kid, you grow vertical, and when you're adult, you grow horizontal.
What can be said?
Anyway, so I made my point. Why would we desire anything from Krishna? Why would we go to Krishna and ask him, please give me this, give me that, when we are actually having Krishna? Everything fulfilled, when we have Krishna. This is pure devotional service. Never asking Krishna for anything, because the greatest thing you can get is Krishna. Therefore, the only thing a pure devotee asks Krishna, allow me to continue to serve you. That's all I want, serving you. It's logical. I only want you. What else? There's nothing else. What else could you want?
Learning. Oh, Krishna, make me a professor. Krishna, give me pure love for you.
So this is showing in Srimati Radharani, and this is really what we are looking at. So when we're on the altar, when we see Radha and Krishna on the altar, we're seeing that. We're seeing a personality that is dedicated to Krishna, who doesn't want anything else but service to Krishna. I mean, that's amazing. And that is why we are looking at Radharani in amazement. Amazement. We're just amazed. How can anybody be like that? Not want anything. How deep are our material attachments?
We don't know many things from Krishna, actually, if we're honest.
Therefore, we are now at the eve of our destiny, which is coming up on coming Monday, and not far away at all. So today we are kind of warming up to that occasion. Therefore, we can begin our prayer. We can begin our prayer in amazement and just say, my dear Srimati Radharani, you are the soft-hearted female counterpart of Krishna. Krishna, who appears in a male form, is naturally hard-hearted, as males are, right? But females, by nature, are more soft-hearted. Therefore, Srimati Radharani is more compassionate, more soft-hearted. So we approach her like that in amazement, approaching her for her compassion, for her soft-heartedness, appreciating that she is in every aspect superior to us, and that we can never, ever, ever reach her level of pure devotion. We are just asking her, although we have no qualification, although we have so many shortcomings, please ask Krishna to be merciful to us. Then if she asks, how can you say no? That's the idea. So we can start praying now, and then maybe by the time Adastami comes, our prayer will gain a little bit of depth. Thank you. Okay, lots of questions. You said, to be sinless, it takes time. Isn't it said that when you circumambulate to Lassi Devi, all your sins are washed away, even killing a brahmana? Yeah, but is it like poof, you know, instantaneously? You just walk around to Lassi and all your sins are just gone? No, not like that. Yes, with every step that we are taking in circumambulating to Lassi, sins are flying away. But how many sins are there? So many. From so many lifetimes. How many are there from this life? That we have never told anyone about. It's like, how many skeletons do we have in the closet? It's like, what shall we say? And nobody knows. We keep them in there and nicely locked away, but everyone has some skeletons in the closet. That's Kali Yuga. So, those are the things that gradually get purified. And certainly, circumambulating to Lassi Devi is very powerful. Still more powerful is chanting the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra. But even that takes some time. What is the relationship between Yoga Maya and Srimati Radharani? Yoga Maya is serving Srimati Radharani. Yoga Maya is assisting Radha and Krishna, so that they can have their loving exchanges. So Yoga Maya is the servant who helps with illusory energy, so that Radha and Krishna sometimes forget their powers or Yoga Maya, so that they can appreciate each other. Lord Shiva is regarded as a topmost devotee and source anima. What are their limitations, if any, compared to Srimati Radharani? Well, if you look at the Briya Bhagavatamrita, it is an interesting book, part one. In part one, the various levels of devotees are being described. And when it comes to Lord Shiva, Lord Shiva is fully dedicated to worshipping Lord Krishna, the Supreme Lord. But the thing is that Lord Shiva cannot fully approach Krishna in that way. Lord Shiva has different features. One feature is in the material world, is known as the demigod Shiva. In the spiritual world, on the side of the spiritual world, there is Sada Shiva. Sada Shiva is an expansion of Mahavishnu. So he's Vishnu Tattva. And Sada Shiva is worshipping Lord Sankarshan. So Vasudev, Sankarshan, Pradyumna, Aniruddha. So he's worshipping the expansion of Krishna. So within the expansion of Krishna, all the qualities of Vishnu are present. But not all the qualities of Krishna are present. The unique qualities of Krishna are that he is Vena Madhurya, Lila Madhurya, Rupa Madhurya, and Prema Madhurya. Or he has Vena Madhurya, he plays his flute in a way that nobody can do. Vishnu cannot do. Rupa Madhurya, he has a form. He has a form of beauty which is unmatched. Lila Madhurya, he has amazing pastimes which no one, no other incarnation or manifestation of the Lord is manifesting. And finally, Prema Madhurya, he is accompanied by devotees who are absorbed in a level of love to which nothing compares. So Lord Shiva cannot access these four fully. We know the story that Lord Shiva had the desire to take the form of a gopi and to enter into the rasa dance. And then Lord Shiva came to Vrindavan, where Krishna was performing the rasa dance. And just then, this gopi was about to sneak into the rasa dance, and then Krishna said, "Ah, Lord Shiva! Oh, great to see you! I was just looking for someone. There are so many intruders who try to enter into the rasa dance. I need someone to guard." You are the perfect person. So Lord Shiva doesn't have that same intimacy that Srimati Radharani has. In that way, Lord Shiva is also the servant of Srimati Radharani, as Gopeshwara, standing guard in the holy dharma. Hanuman also, great devotee of Lord Ramachandra. And Lord Ramachandra is greater than Lord Vishnu. But Lord Ramachandra, he is manifesting the principles of Dharma and not the principles of Madhurya. The sages of Dandakaranya, they developed a desire to have a conjugal relationship with the Supreme Lord. But it was not possible with Lord Ramachandra because he had taken an ekapatni vrata, the vow to have only one wife. Therefore these sages later came back and had a relationship with, in a female form, this time with Lord Krishna. There the Madhurya rasa is fully manifest. So also Hanuman doesn't fully know that Madhurya rasa that the gopis of Vrindavan are experiencing. Why was Prabhupada put through so much cancer, suffering in his end days? It wasn't cancer, but he was the ultimate devotee to the Supreme Personality who served with pure devotion in everything he did. Does Krishna put his devotees in any way, I guess in trouble anyway? I know Krishna is a merciful God. Yes. Imagine if Krishna would have made it easy for Prabhupada. "Oh yes, you are my pure devotee. Poof! For you, my mystic power, everything will just happen automatically." Then all of us would have said, "Oh yes, for Prabhupada it was easy because he was a pure devotee. And Krishna gave him special mercy." But now, all in all, no one in the world can say for Prabhupada it was easy. No, we cannot say. Because for Prabhupada it was more difficult than for any of us. What he did, and throughout he remained fixed. He never gave up. He just carried on. And even at the end, when he was going through so much health difficulty and pain, the doctor said, anyone with these symptoms is cringing in pain. And Prabhupada would just carry on, carry on. And his disciples came while Prabhupada was in his final days. And the disciples came to cry. And Prabhupada was comforting them, just like Bhishmadev was comforting Yudhisthira. In the same way, Prabhupada was calming down his disciples. It's all right, it's all right. Prabhupada was a source of strength up till the last moment. And Krishna put him through all these difficulties, and with it, Prabhupada became more glorious, more glorious. And therefore, Krishna put him through difficulty to show how glorious he really was, that all of us can see that even in the midst of difficulty, he was so glorious, and that all of us can follow, so that no one can say, oh, I have so many difficulties in spiritual life. No. We made it easy. Prabhupada made it easy for us. Wherever you go in the world, the temple is not far away. And then, you know, you travel around the world, and then guess what? Is there prasadam? No, we don't have it so tough. But in Narayan Maharaj, he wanted to go somewhere and preach in a place where no one had ever gone, and he chose New Guinea, and he went there. And when he came to the hotel, which he had booked on the internet, he came in, the receptionist was reading Prabhupada's books. And see, Prabhupada was already there. No, we have it easy. We have it easy. Compared to Prabhupada. So the difficulties Krishna gave him was to glorify him so that all of us could develop more faith in him. So that all of us could be more serious about following him. That's why Krishna did that. Because Krishna is merciful, and he used Prabhupada as his instrument to deliver so many fallen souls who are weak and sinful and attached to material life, who have no sense of austerity and no determination. And therefore, he arranged all the encouragement that we could get. Can you explain how it is that both Radha and Krishna are God? Well, Srimati Radharani is not God. She is the energy of God. She is the Shakti Tattva, the Ladini Shakti, or the pleasure potency of Krishna. Of course, she is the energy of Krishna, and in that sense, part of Krishna's energy. We are also Krishna's energy, and everything is Krishna's energy. But Srimati Radharani is particularly that energy that can give Krishna pleasure. She is his pleasure potency. So she is not God. She is the energy of God. Shakti Tattva. That's the truth about her. Why do we always praise Krishna only, not Radha? We do pray Radha. When we say Hare Krishna, Hare, as I said in the beginning, stands for Radha. So therefore, it's Radha in the form of rendering service. Therefore we say Hare Krishna. And in this Hare we are glorifying Srimati Radharani. Because Hare, it means that she is stealing away Krishna's attention. That's her service. To somehow or other capture all Krishna's thoughts. That's the way. By your purity, she is capturing Krishna. Therefore, Hare. And therefore the word Hare is a higher word than Radha. Therefore, instead of chanting Radha Krishna, Radha Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Radha Radha, we're chanting Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. How do we go about worshipping Radha? We go first to the servant of the servant of the servant. Therefore, we go to Srila Prabhupada. And therefore, we first chant Namo Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prasthaya Vatale Srimate Bhakti Vedanta Swami Pranam. Namaste Saraswati Deva Gurvani Pachara Vyuse Sri Vatasya Vasatari. We go to Prabhupada as the family of Acharya, representing our whole parampara. Of course, if our guru is not Prabhupada directly, mentally, we're first going to our own spiritual master, although we may not chant that Pranam mantra. Then we go to Prabhupada, and then we go to the whole disciplic succession, to Lord Chaitanya, Sri Krishna Chaitanya, and then we chant Hare Krishna. And in front of the deity of Sri Matavarana, we chant the Hare Krishna mantra. And what is a better way to worship Sri Matavarana? Therefore, on Radhastami, there will be ample of kirtan for the pleasure of the deities. Because that is the greatest way. Then there will also be cooking for Radha and Krishna and glorification of both Radha and Krishna. In this way, we're worshipping Srimata Radharani. Krishna is pleased when we serve as devotee. But if the devotee is not pleased, how do we serve? We see that amongst the associates of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, there were some personalities who did not act always completely properly or whatever. They fell in disgrace. Some personalities among the associates of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu fell in disgrace. But then there was always somebody who was mercifully inclined. So, if you cannot please the devotee, there's always some other devotee, someone who will be mercifully inclined. Then please that devotee. And he will bring you back to the point where you can actually please that devotee who you couldn't please. Especially the spiritual master. We must please our spiritual master. But what if we cannot please our spiritual master? Then please another devotee and through that service we become again qualified to please our spiritual master. In that way. Gopi Bhaktapada Kamanayur Dasana 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 Dasana. Serve the servant of the servant of the servant of the servant of the gopis of Vrindavan 100 times reward. Is it?